Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. Seagal running. How did that happen? Come on.
It literally ended the guy's career.
It's true. I could never look at
you can't.
Him the same way. When he'd get up close to somebody right. And somebody would start to throw punches, you just like.
You are going to break a mic.
I am going to break a mic.
You're going to break a mic.
I am going to break a mic.
Now, it was a great visual for me. Yeah. I don't know about the rest of the audience.
Yeah, you're right. All I'm going to do is break a mic.
Yeah.
You're right. I can't do that.
Yeah,
I've already got a reputation with these Popeye-like forearms of mine, so strong.
Right. Just these big, massive hands. Reminds me of a Far Side commercial when they said, and for Lord's sake, whatever you do, keep that hand in his face. They were basketball players, and he had that one giant hand on his
face. Funny.
Hey, by the way.
So funny.
By the way, you're like Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise has a running scene in every movie because he looks good running, right?
Yep.
And it keeps you coming back. It gets him more movies.
Yep.
It extended his career. I mean, understand, know your strengths, understand your weaknesses. Steven Seagal should have just had, he's the best movie runner of all time. There is no better movie runner.
Cruise is the best.
Who runs in movies better than Tom Cruise?
He does. He has that form.
He
gets the hands. Are in close.
Right.
The elbows are in close. He's got that sprinter's hand.
His little legs are going just at a mile a minute. Yes.
His head's always up.
Right.
His eyes are wide open. He's putting every bit of
energy,
every fiber of his being is into that
but
run.
But it he's got good. Now, he's probably slower than Manassas.
Are you trying to get me in a no, really?
Yeah,
yes, you was. Are. That's twice you've done that today.
My daughter said that when she was little. He's slower than Manassas because Manassas, Virginia, was right.
That's
down the
what
street.
I was
right.
thinking about. Yes,
okay. He may be slower than Molasses, but his form and he's pumping. Man, he looks like he's going 100 miles an hour. He made the greatest movie runner of all time.
Did you see that Melvin Gordon on that 70-yard touchdown run was tracked with the fastest speed measured of any runner in the NFL this weekend, like 21.7 miles per hour.
Yeah,
I didn't think he had that kind of breakaway speed.
I don't care.
Oh boy, what do you mean you don't care?
And 21 point. What does it even mean? I mean, seriously,
he was running almost 22 miles per hour. Right. That's like a cheetah.
It's not like a cheetah.
How fast do cheetahs run?
70
miles per hour.
Cheetahs hit top speeds of 70 miles an
Benny,
hour.
I know. We got to get back to sports. And Joel Klatt's going to be joining us in a second.
People need context. He's not running like a cheetah. They run up to 70.
I apologize. Between 50 and 80 miles per hour. If you've got a husky cheetah, he's going about 50.
Yeah, the O-line cheetahs run 50. The wide receiver cheetahs run 80.
The skill position cheetahs, they
you
run
son
about,
of a...
I know. Now I know how to get you.
Don't even start with me.
So cheetahs are the fastest.
Yeah, cheetahs are... Yeah. You know who can run faster than humans? Alligators. Alligators in short sprints can run faster than 21.
Really?
Go ahead and look it up.
All right. Now I got
Benny? Everything music. Sorry, buddy. Benny's playing musical chairs.
Are you an alligator or crocodile?
Yeah, but 6 1/2 doesn't matter. Long snout, short snout. What do you want?
You lost that one.
Baloney.
Based on what we saw the other day, Melvin Gordon would beat an alligator. Plus, he'd have the added benefit of being chased by an alligator, which would probably make him run fast.
How fast?
20.
Top speeds?
20.
Oh, he's nipping at the heels.
He's literally nipping at the heels, yeah.
Gosh, could you imagine? You know what that means? You'd be chased down by an alligator, man. Gosh, he'd be eating for weeks. didn't even need to roll you under a log and tenderize you. You're already, by the looks of you, you're already tender.
You are such a Wow. Guy loses a few pounds, saves the button. Now all of a sudden he's body shaming.
Not all of a sudden. I'm a big time body shamer. The first time, you know what? If you can't laugh at yourself, you can always laugh at you. That's a standard that I live by.
Okay.
Funny stuff.
That's good stuff right
funny
there.
Stuff.
Good stuff. Okay.
Sports.
Gotta get back to sports. Come on, guys, get back to sports. We don't want to hear about,
what are you guys doing around here?
Well, that's a cheetah, you know, or alligator, whatever. All right. Is he ready? Or is he in a meeting?
Yes!
Oh, he's ready. Joel Klatt joins us. He is presented, as always, by Audi Flatirons. Joel, good morning, and let's jump right in, a little QB on QB. What did you see that you liked from Teddy Bridgewater?
A lot. I think that the opening drive of the second half was why he's the starter. How many times did we see previous quarterbacks, and this is not a knock against Drew specifically, but previous quarterbacks since Peyton, not be able to execute through, 16-play drive, make some of the small plays necessary in order to keep your team on the field and convert in a day in which the run game wasn't dominant by any stretch and wasn't even really all that good. It was okay, but it wasn't, you know, something that you would consider good. He was still able to manipulate the pocket, find completions, be efficient. I loved it, right? I mean, he's a big reason why they're sitting there late in that game, and the game is totally out of hand in terms of for the Broncos, which doesn't happen in the NFL. You guys know that. I mean, this is a one-possession league, and Denver's sitting there with the game totally in hand at the end. So I tell you, I was incredibly impressed, and I thought that, as I kind of suggested, you saw the reason why he is so valuable, and I think that first possession of the second half was a big reason why.
Pocket presence, just being cool, under duress, not making mistakes. How impressive was Teddy Bridgewater? It was the intangible stuff as I was broadcasting the game, Joel, that I was just like, this is why these are the things that matter that the average fan just doesn't get to see on a day-to-day basis.
Well, and in particular for a team that, let's face it, like they need everything, right? They need an identity. They need a leader. They need a calming presence. And you can say, you can make an argument that, like, oh, teams take on the identity of their head coach. But I think in the NFL, teams take on the persona of their quarterback more so. And his calming, veteran, efficient influence, I think, led everyone to just play better. I think it led the defense to playing better and calming down after the start and you know, getting their feet underneath them. And everyone's just like, hey, everyone just take a deep breath. We're going to be fine. And why are we going to be fine? Because we understand how to execute. And everything that you just said is absolutely right. This is a big reason, and we talked about it all training camp. And this is, you know, I guess if I was a coach, I would just be like a super safe like coach. But to me, this decision was always a no-brainer because you never go with splash at quarterback. You always go with consistency. And I think that consistency leaked into every area of the team, in particular in the way that they just approached the game.
Joel, when you have a coach who is being as aggressive as Vic Fangio was on fourth down,
How
does the team, and I'm bringing the defense into this as well, how does a team react to its head coach being that aggressive?
Well, I think typically players love it. Players always want their coach to be aggressive. I think it's one of the hard parts of being a head coach is that the pull and the energy around you is always to make the more aggressive decision. Go for the block punt, you know, go try a fake, go for it on fourth down. The players all want to pull in that direction. And so I think that when you feed them those little bits, they can gain confidence. And in particular, when you're doing it at places like midfield, you know, and I know that the sheet, and you got to understand, guys, like football is, I mean, analytics are seeping in to the sport. And I've seen it at the college level. There are coaches that go for it on fourth down all the time. But as soon as you get into plus territory, in particular, when you cross the 50 until about the 35, right, from the 50 until you get into field goal range, the analytics would suggest that you should probably go for it on fourth down almost every time, mm-hmm. unless you're like in the 4th and 7 range. And so we may see this more in just football in general, even in the NFL. And I don't know if it's necessarily just because, oh, the coach is being really aggressive. Now, having said that, there's a few different factors that you're going to make that decision on based in game. And I think a couple of those would be like, are you trusting your defense? Do you like what you're seeing from your offense? You know, if it's not going well for you and you're having a hard time everywhere, you're probably going to just like punt the football and try to play for field position and so on and so forth. But if you feel good about your defensive plan, if you feel good about your matchups, if you feel good about the efficiency of your offense, then you might press the envelope. And I think that was the case on Sunday for Denver.
Von Miller, I said during the broadcast, the best thing I can say about Von Miller is he looked like Von Miller, right? What was your takeaway from watching Von Miller play on Sunday?
He looks fast. Maybe it's just like it hasn't been it's been a minute since we've seen him. But Mark, he looked like there was a burst to him. I think that what made him so exceptional is in particular when you're thinking about those playoff runs and the run to winning the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 50 was his first step was the best first step in all of football. And then you couple that with his athleticism to bend on the edge and get low to the ground, and he became an unblockable force. And I thought for the first time in a long time, he looked like that player. I thought his first step was exceptional. I thought his ability to bend was exceptional. He looked fast. He looked more like a 2017 version of Von Miller than he did a 2019 version of Von Miller. And I think that should make Bronco fans really excited. Now, having said that, can you imagine how much better he could look if you could keep him just a hair more fresh in terms of a 17-game season rather than a 16-game season, if you can get Bradley Chubb back on the field? Not only fresh, but you can also scheme to a standpoint where one of those guys is going to get a one-on-one matchup. So, you know, I think getting Chubb back on the field is going to be important, and let's hope it was, at least what I've been reading, it was precautionary that he wasn't available, and let's hope that that's the case.
I love following Joel Klatt on Twitter. You can as well, at Joel Klatt. And you put this out yesterday.
There's always some snark, Mike, on that Twitter.
Tune in for. If it's not there, I'm disappointed. But this was just flat out spewing hot takes. Here we go. If I'm USC AD, I would make the following coaches tell me no before moving on: Ryan Day, Brian Kelly, Dabo Swinney, Lincoln Riley, and Urban Meyer, which I found interesting. Do you believe that there's some more than just smoke to this idea that Urban Meyer might prefer to leave Jacksonville for USC?
Well, listen, I know Urban well, and that tweet was more... It was more a philosophy of what USC should be thinking rather than those are the guys that I think would answer and say yes to the call. I don't think Urban's going to go back and coach college football, but we've seen him make crazy decisions before. I know him well now, and I was shocked that he took the Jacksonville job and actually told him so. He called me and I was like, are you crazy? I was like, this seems really stupid. And he was like, well. Oh, well. So anyways, I don't think he's going to come back.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Whoa. You told Urban Meyer you thought he was crazy to take the Jacksonville job, and all he could respond with was, ah, oh, well, that's it?
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't say crazy, Mike. I said stupid.
I was like,
are you stupid? What's going on? And he was like, well. And then he was like, listen, Trevor Lawrence is a generational quarterback. And if you're going to go take a swing in the NFL, that's the guy I would want to do it with. And so that's the reason that he's there, and I hope it works out for him, and we'll see. You know, I mean, I think he's got a steep learning curve because he's such a college-oriented coach, and we've seen him make some missteps so far in Jacksonville. But I think Urban's a phenomenal football coach. He is a phenomenal leader of men. It's 4th-and-1 for him on almost every single day, and that sense of urgency permeates the program, in particular in college. And he's had a lot of success. So back to the question, though, I think, Mike, the philosophy for USC should be don't limit yourself. You're USC. Like, this is one of the top football jobs in America, either level. So this is a program that should be on the top end, like the bluest of the blue bloods. They should be in the conversation with Alabama and Ohio State every single year. The fact that Clemson from South Carolina comes into Southern California and steals blue chip 5-star quarterbacks is awful. It's an aberration. Like, this program has got to swing for the fences. And so with that philosophy, I would go to those guys who I think are the top end of college football and force them to tell me no. And it's more of a philosophy thing for Mike Bone, the athletic director. And listen, everyone in Colorado, at least if you've been around sports for any amount of time, knows how I feel about Mike Bone. I'm very skeptical about Mike Bone. He's had a lot of chances to hire coaches, make decisions on head coaches, and he hasn't been very successful at it, in particular at Colorado. He fired Gary Barnett, hired Dan Hawkins. He fired Dan Hawkins, hired John Embry. He fired John Embry, hired Mike McIntyre. Like these were not successful moves. He goes to Cincinnati because it was the only job he could get, and because he wasn't well thought of throughout the country. And he kind of falls into Luke Fickell because Luke Fickell's an Ohio guy. Luke Fickell's never coached anywhere but Ohio. So it works, but that doesn't necessarily mean he knows how to hire at USC. So this is a philosophy type of moment for USC where they've got to go out there, and if you're going to cast a net, then cast the biggest net you can possibly cast.
Okay, because it's Mike Bone, naturally Eric Bieniemy's name is coming up as well. We've all been waiting for Eric Bieniemy to get that opportunity to be an NFL head coach. Might this be the best move for Eric Bieniemy right now? Go coach USC.
Potentially. I think that, you know, he's from this area. This is where he grew up. This is where Bill McCartney came and recruited him in the L.A. area and got him to come to the University of Colorado. I think that Eric, unfortunately, has some baggage based on the fact that he has been an incredibly emotional person. He was as a player, and that's followed him into his career at times. And so, you know, to be very blunt about it, whether it's the NFL or college, someone that's hiring Eric Bieniemy to be their head coach is going to have to look past some baggage. That's the reason he hasn't been a head coach yet. Having said that, I think he could be incredibly successful. See, you need someone at USC that can be, both 4th-and-1 sense of urgency and a star. And that was what made Pete Carroll so good, is that the practices were the toughest part at USC, and they grinded. I mean, this was a hard-working program. And then at the same time, every star was out at USC, and it was a star-studded program. I think that he could be that. I think that someone from an NFL tree would understand how to be a good coach at USC versus some guy who's been successful at a mid-major in college football, because at USC, you're going to have to deal with a lot of distractions. And quite frankly, you have to handle their players at times like professionals. in particular now moving forward into the NIL conversation. So I think someone with an NFL background, and it's interesting, think about it this way. Of the programs that are huge coastal urban programs, you think of USC and Miami. What are the coaches? Who are the coaches that have had success at those two programs? They feel similar, private schools, urban, city-oriented. What are the styles of coaches that have had success at those two programs? Well, you think of like John Robinson. You think of Pete Carroll. You think of Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson, even a guy like Butch Davis. And there are NFL bloodlines going through all of those coaches. And because of that, I think that it's not far-fetched to think that the NFL ranks is where USC should maybe go. Like I said, in particular with the NIL thing out there on the horizon. So you think of an Eric Bieniemy or a Josh McDaniels or a Joe Brady. And then here's a wild one, and I didn't put this on Twitter, but I woke up this morning, and I'm on the 405 right now, by the way, and so I'm in the shower this morning. And so I'm sitting in traffic.
So you're like Jerry
now.
Jones, you're thinking about things in the shower.
Yeah, like so I'm that. Thinking about things in the shower. And I thought to myself, like, last night I was watching TV and the Aflac commercial came on with Nick Saban and Deion Sanders. And then it hits me in the shower and I'm like, Deion Sanders is on an Aflac commercial. Why wouldn't Deion Sanders be a target at USC? Because in college football, remember, it's not necessarily about your acumen as an X's and O's coach as much as it is about recruiting, the ability to manage a staff. So if Deion Sanders could hire a really good staff, wouldn't he be perfect at USC?
It's a great question. I mean, he's doing it right now in the college ranks. He is a guy that, I mean, everybody respects. And, you know, when you talk to coach, I'm not bagging on Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's a great coach, but Pete Carroll is a secondary specialist, if you will. He knows that aspect of the game, but he's not out there X-ing and O-ing everybody to death. He's out there motivating, creating competition, doing all those things, being the personality and the star that Pete Carroll is. I mean, that's what he relies on. That's what he leans on. So Deion would make a lot of sense.
That's a great idea. So splashy. And what they have to do, and I alluded to this earlier, and there's a lot of time on USC, but it's a big deal in college athletics, is they got to put a fence around Southern California.
Real quick, you've seen Minnesota play already against Ohio State. Correct? Right? You did that game, right? Minnesota and Ohio State? Yeah. So they play the Buffs this week. Do the Buffs get credit for a good loss to Texas A&M, or does that go down as a golden missed opportunity?
Both. I think both can be true. And I think that they are uniquely suited to match up well with Minnesota because Minnesota is run-oriented, and that's one of the things that the Buffs do really well is stop the run. I really love the way that Colorado played. And did they miss some playmaking ability, you know, at the skill positions? And did the quarterback make some mistakes? Yes. But at the same time, that's one of the most talented teams in all of college football that they faced, and they really should have won the game. And so I think giving them a lot of credit where it's due, I think that this program is clearly moving in the right direction. They're doing the things necessary to start winning football games at the top end. Namely, run the football, stop the run, win the line of scrimmage. And I didn't feel like they were ever, like, physically dominated on Saturday. And that is a great sign. And so, listen, you're always disappointed when you lose. And that absolutely was a golden opportunity. But at the same time, you see the glimpses there that should make you a very optimistic for the future of Colorado.
All right, last one. I know how much you love hearing from the 8 a.m. texters, and this is actually this is complimentary. Somebody said how much they loved you and your family in the Cadillac commercial, which which leads to this question: who does a car commercial better, you for Cadillac or Matthew McConaughey for Buick?
This is not it's not Buick; it's Lincoln.
Lincoln.
And it's not even a contest. McConaughey is just like dripping with drama. He's amazing. And in fact, this year's Cadillac commercial that, I shot, I don't think it's aired yet. But it's like in the McConaughey vein. It's like me trying to do a voiceover and then like driving, trying to look cool. No joke. No, like you'll see it soon. And I've seen it and I'm like, I hope it's well received, but I was like, man, I feel like you're trying to go compete with Goliath here. You know, I feel like this is like trying to play Alabama.
Well, you are great at acting, so you could probably do a little bit. How would a Joel Klatt, Matthew McConaughey car commercial sound?
Oh, gosh.
Get a little all right.
I don't even know.
A little all right.
I would probably be like, yo, you want to go down and check out the beach? And he'd be like, you know what's best about the beach, son? And I'd say, what's that, Dad? And he would say, I keep getting older, but the girls stay the same age. All right.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay.
I pretty much tuned out of this interview when you said you were thinking about in the shower, and then I started thinking, the difference between Joel and I can wash in the shower in, you know, under 2 minutes. I'm clean as I need to be, and I'm gone. I got to think that you're 20 minutes in the shower, like every, like you just spend a lot of time scrubbing.
This is a great question. Right. I think the amount of time you spend in the shower says a lot about yourself.
Mm.
Listen, if you spend over 10 minutes in the shower, you're narcissistic and you should think of it like you should probably be checked into a mental institute. So 10 minutes is like, you can't do that. I'm like 9 minutes, 52 seconds.
Correct. Yeah. You're right. Just borderline narcissistic. You're more fastidious than you are narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
But you border right up against it.
I am generally under 2 minutes. Yes. I don't know what that says about me.
Joel. Thanks.
But the key to the under 2 minutes is that you grab that half-eaten chicken wing out of the hallway before you jump in the shower.
That, and I don't even bother with the shampoo. That's a waste of time. Bar soap straight to the top of the head. I'm in.
Did you, what was your reaction when Mark sent out that tweet that included you on it with it? The tray outside.
Those fries were delicious, by the way.
And that lone chicken nugget right there.
Oh, I went back to the question you asked me, like, how much money would it take? I know in your mind, you were thinking like, few hundred dollars to eat a chicken wing.
Yeah.
There's zero chance I would buy even a chicken finger in a hotel room in the hallway, minimum five figures.
What would happen if you would have seen in our meeting room for $50 Matt Lepsis eat one of Tommy Nalen's burgers?
$50
I get
linemen are the grossest people I've ever met in my life.
Don't go there.
We gotta
Joel,
go.
Joel, you're the best, man.
At least he didn't perform an aerial.
All right.
I can't believe you did that.
Yes.
I can't believe you did that. Hey,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. That's just gross. That's just gross. Yeah. Our thanks to Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Fire Irons. All right, as always, a lot to unpack. We'll do that next. This is Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, our thanks to Joel Klatt. Always enjoy our time with Joel every week. Yeah, and he put together his list for USC, and he had Eric Bieniemy on it, and he had Josh McDaniels on it. Think Josh, Hurricane Josh gets another chance to coach in the NFL, or do you think he needs to go to college first?
Oh, he'll get another opportunity. I think he'll take over in New England.
You do?
Yeah, I think it's already been agreed to with Papa Bear.
Does Belichick show any signs of slowing down?
No, but you know, Belichick will just be one of those guys that all of a sudden, like Forrest Gump, You remember Forrest Gump? And he took off to running. He created the smiley face shirt, that, you know, in that emblem and all this.
It happens.
Right. And then all of a sudden, one day he goes, and then I just quit running. Like Belichick, one day I'll just be then I just quit coaching. Gumpian. It'd be like Gump.
It'd be Gump-esque.
Yeah.
He's 69 years old. Saban is 69 years old.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
These two, why would they walk away? No way. I don't know. I think if Josh is waiting, Josh is going to be waiting for a while now. Pete Carroll's 70. Pete Carroll is 70 years old. Andy Reid's 63.
63. Pete Carroll's 70. Pete Carroll's got the energy. I mean, you like Pete Carroll on the field. He's flying around. He's doing his thing.
How old is Vic, by the way?
64, probably. 63, 60. I think you hired at 63. Or
63.
Yeah. Wasn't he hired at 63? No, he's hired at 64.
He just turned 63.
Just turned 63.
Oh, hey. Vic Fangio could be the coach here for at least another 10 years.
Oh, easy.
Easy.
Right, easy.
How about new?
Oh, hey, wait a minute now. He's 1-7 in September now.
I know. He's dominant in September.
He's now a September darling.
He's 1-0 in September this year with one blowout to his credit. An excuse to play this song, which is, by the way, a great song.
By the way, do you now think of this as a 3-0 football team?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because yes. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, in my mind, they're 3-0 already. In my mind, anything less than 3-0 now is huge disappointment.
Right. They got to be 3-0.
They got to be 3-0. I now think of them as 3-0.
I mean, this
2-1
is...
2-1 isn't an option.
This is you with one of those floaties at the pool in the sunshine, just soaking it in. You're on the floaty, not a care in the world. It's probably got one of those kind of armrests that have the cup holders in them, and you got a fruity drink in there.
Yep.
A little umbrella. You're just floating around with your shirt off. The back is finely waxed.
Pristine.
Pristine. That thing is smooth as a baby's backside.
Absolutely, baby. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 3-0.
3-0. I mean, you get into the water off that thing and you just slither right through the water like an eel. Your back's so clean. There's no drag. Zero drag.
No friction.
Is that an eel? Look at that. Oh, no, it's Evan.
Oh man, I love it when you're punchy. You only gonna get 4.5 hours of sleep tonight too? Keep the streak going.
Let me think. How much work do I got? A lot of film to study, and I have a lot of yard work to do.
Who you got this week, by the way?
I got San Fran at Philly.
We're gonna have systems.
Have you reached out to Philly yet about doing the rock, scissors, paper contest yet?
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
Yeah, no, I have not.
You're going to do that, right?
Of course I'm going to do that.
Okay.
So I will reach out Bob Lang, who was the PR director for San Fran forever. Bob's a great guy. I will reach out to him. I'll have an update for you tomorrow. I'll hit Bob Lang. Let's hit him up right now. This will be fun. What do we got, 1 minute? Let's do Bob Lang.
Hold on. You gonna text him right now?
Yeah, let's just do it. Bob, B-O-B.
Oh, people are like, Mike, don't start your jinxy cat ways. I'm not a jinxy cat. Stop it.
Hey, Bob. Hello, Jinx. Sink. Looking forward to hooking up this week, seeing you in the meetings. Hey, man, you think Nick Sirianni would play rock, scissors, paper with me? We could record it on my iPhone just for fun? Let me know.
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
I did that with, how do you spell Sirianni?
S-I-R-I-A-N-I, I think.
Yeah, it just came out completely. C-E-R.
Yeah, you do your voice.
S-I-R-I-A-I-A.
Man, do you need help with your spelling?
N-N-A.
I know who you
It's what? S-I-R-I-A-N-N-A? And an I. Oh, no wonder it looks so weird.
We're going to have systems.
Okay, forward to hooking up this week, seeing meetings. Hey, man, you think Nick Sirianni would play rock, scissors, paper with me? We could record it on my iPhone just for fun. Let me know.
Send.
Push send. Let's see what happens.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Mark Schlereth.
Let's see. Mr. Lyon gets back to me. I'll have an update here in a hoop.
See, everyone's like, oh, don't start with your jinxy ways. Wait a minute. Are you telling me?
Jinxie, no!
No, all of you, to all of you, well, hold on a second. This bugs me. For all of you who are accusing me of my Jinxie cat ways, first of all, I'm not a Jinxie cat. Second of all, do you not think of the Broncos now as being 3-0?
If they're not 3-0, it would be a major, major disappointment. Yes, of course, they've got to start 3-0. End of story, book it.
Okay.
Done.
Yeah,
And
I'm already getting the...
It's not jinxy.
Mike, you should know better on any given Sunday.
No.
Lord.
No.
Come on, folks. I know. They've been down for a while. It's time to start developing a little bit more of a swagger. Okay? More expectations. Don't cower. Okay? They should be 3-0. I think of them as 3-0. Okay. We'll get into, I just wanted you to kind of summarize, because you got some really good, insightful stuff from your one-on-one with Teddy Bridgewater, and you'll share that with us all next. This is Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
The Fan.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Dexter. I made a note of this over the weekend while watching the game on Sunday, and then I forgot to bring it up with you. Somebody just randomly threw out baloney patch on the text line. What was the phrase that pays with your Idaho buddies?
I didn't have one this week because they weren't getting the game. It's kind of like here. When I'm doing the game, like I'm doing a Seattle game, I get the phrase that pays. Or I'm doing a game that they're getting in their local market. But, you know, they're always going to get a Seattle game in their local market, especially in that 4 o'clock window. So... I'm not in that market, so he didn't get a phrase of pace this week.
Take your glasses off. That's weird looking at you with your glasses on.
My reading glasses?
Yeah.
I mean, it's what happens. I'm
not used to seeing you with those on.
I don't necessarily have to.
Let's just say they don't give you the sexy librarian look.
Oh, well, I'm waiting. Should I take my shirt off and then put them on? Because
I'm taking the shirt off.
Then you're talking about we'd have to put another partition up between the two of us. If that were to happen.
Okay. God, I love Punchy Mark. You had a chance to talk to Teddy Bridgewater in a way that nobody else in the media gets a chance to talk to Teddy. As you get ready to do one of these games, I think the beauty of these things is that these players, coaches, they come to the network TV meetings, I think, prepared to give a little bit more than they normally would give. Mm-hmm. And you wrote down, and I know you didn't get to all of the things that you talked about with Teddy during the broadcast, because you prepare for 100% and you're lucky to use about 30-40% of it. So a lot of stuff doesn't get used. I'm curious, stuff that you didn't use during the broadcast that stood out with your conversation with Bridgewater?
Well, I just think, you know, we always are trying to define as fan bases what leadership looks like. You know, it's a word that gets thrown around a bunch. And, you know, if you knew what it was, it's kind of one of that it factor. You know, you'd bottle and sell it and you'd be a multi-bazillionaire. You'd be Jeff Bezos.
But you're owner of the Denver Broncos, maybe?
But it just is hard because it comes in so many different forms and fashions. And you know, he's very widely respected from the coaching standpoint, from a coach's standpoint to a player standpoint. They just have so much respect for him. But, you know, it's the little things, the coach on the field stuff. It's when mistakes happen where he goes and talks to a player as opposed to the coach having to cuss the player out. You know, he's on it before the coaches can get on it sometimes. And he said the perspective of being able to not only put yourself in their shoes and understand what they were thinking, but then give them, you know, then put them in your shoes and say, well, from my perspective, here's what I'm thinking. And this is what would make it easier for me. And if it's easier for me, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get fed. And just having that mentorship, having that ability. You know, one of the things he said that I thought just resonated with me because I never heard anybody say it, when you have the weapons that Denver does, it's kind of like what he had in New Orleans for 5 days. When you have that type of weapons all over the football field, he goes, not everybody can get the desired amount of touches. And sometimes he goes, you just have to keep people happy with words. You have to recognize what they did. You have to say, hey, man, you know, the read took me over here, but I saw you on that basic, or I saw you on that comeback wide open. That was a great route, you know, and you, hey, keep doing it. Cause you're creating the space. You're creating the options. I'm going to get back to you. We'll get you a ball. You know, that type of thing where you're almost you have to minor in psychology to play the position.
John ever do that?
I'm sure you didn't talk to
him. Like when Shannon would come back to the huddle every time. I was open.
With that, though, you just tell Shannon to shut up. that's different. It's the difference between coaxing a young guy into playing crate and you know, and telling a veteran who's just a ball hog to shut up.
Ball hog. He just called Shannon Sharp a ball hog.
He's a rep hog, you know?
Okay.
Ball hog.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a difference. Shannon, you know, there's guys who need it, guys who need to constantly be, you know, their confidence to be grown.
Shannon didn't need to be pumped up. He didn't need his tires pumped.
No, Shannon was his own, he's a one-man hype, a one-man hype man. That makes sense.
This one comes in from Tucson Tim.
Tucson. I like to call it Tucson Tim. Go ahead, Tucson. What's on your mind?
He says, hey, Stink, I'm going to change your nickname to Sack. As in saccharine, because you were so disgustingly sweet in your pro-Giants call of the game. When are you and your little fan club, including President Mickey, moving to Hoboken? Did you find yourself a good Jersey landscaper yet? If not, my cousin Trenton Tommy owns a True Green franchise in Teterboro. So Tucson Tim has a cousin, Trenton Tommy, who owns a True Green in Teterboro.
Oof. Yeah. If you're
working, you got accused of that by a lot of Bronco fans of being too pro-Giant.
You realize I'm doing a national broadcast, you morons. You do realize that, right? I'm going to praise football because I love football and I'm passionate about football. And I don't give a rip who's playing great football. If you play great football, I'm going to love on you. I'm going to praise you. I mean, seriously, is that what we have to go through?
Let's see.
To be like state-sponsored radio? You want me to be? You want me to do? Hey, listen. You want me to do a Denver broadcast? Like, you want me to do that? That's not what I get paid for. I mean, I don't. That's not what I'm asked to do. I'm talking about football, and if the Giants make a good play, man, I'm going to praise them for it. If the Broncos make a great play, I'm going to praise them for it. Like, Tucson Tommy over there, or was it Tucson Tommy?
Tucson Tim.
Oh, Tucson Tim, like thinking that I'm working for the, I don't work for the Broncos. I work for Fox.
Let's do a little contest here.
Who can
do it smoother?
All right.
All the T's.
Mm.
Here we go. I'm going to go first. So Tucson Tim has a cousin, Trenton Tommy, who owns a True Green in Teterboro.
Boom. Well, that was good. I don't have the text line up, but so Tucson Tim has a brother. No, so
cousin.
Cousin. What was his name?
Trenton Timmy. Tommy. Trenton Tommy.
So Tucson Tim has a cousin, Trenton Tommy, who owns a landscaping.
No, True Green.
Who owns
in Teterboro.
Who owns a True Green landscaping company in Teterboro.
Try that all over again.
Okay. So Tucson Tim has a cousin, Trenton Tommy, who has a, what was the thing?
True Green.
True Green.
In Teterboro.
Okay, one more time.
Try that again.
So Tucson Tim has a cousin,
Trenton Tommy.
So Tucson Tim has a cousin, Trenton Tommy, who has a True Green in Trenton.
No!
Teterboro.
Folks, you're getting a little inside look at what it's like when Mark records a commercial.
I don't try.
And why we have nicknamed him the Butcher.
Yeah, I don't try. Here's the thing.
You're getting a look at the Butcher.
Michael.
Okay.
I'm an extemporaneous guy. I'm not a memorize what I'm going to say guy. It's like diarrhea. It just flows. It just comes right out. I don't even think about it.
We heard from Mickey. President Mickey. I like the sound of that. That's right, Tucson Timmy.
Tucson Timmy, put Tucson Timmy on my list, please.
Oh.
I'm going to start having Ben keep a list for me.
You're like Baker Mayfield now, yep. Putting together a list.
Wait, they make an official list for me, Ben. That's going to be your responsibility Tucson from Tim. This point forth. Tucson
right.
Tim.
With his cousin,
Tucson Tim.
Trenton Tommy.
You're right. On the list.
We are done, mercifully. Try not to get any sleep tonight. I like this version of you. Keep it up.
Dude, I got
put things and put the glasses back on.
And put the what?
Put the glasses back on.
Are you a sweatshirt on?
All right, Chad and Nate coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.